Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. Ah, what a glorious day it is. What a glorious week it's been. What a glorious show we have yet to perform, both here on the podcast and life in general. You know, as Shakespeare once wrote, all the world's a stage and all the people merely players. And two of the best players out there are my guests today. It's Keith Malley and it's Hemda. Welcome to the show.
Wow, best intro ever. Shakespearean, are you fucking with me? Guys, do you not feel like VIPs right now listening to this? Amazing.
You know the bard. Heard of him?
How you doing? Ruff, ruff.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys hear? I was on Diamond Dogs last night.
I was saying how jealous I was. How'd it go?
I was nervous, but I think it was okay. I got a couple good zingers in, and you know, we did joking, we did earnestness, we did what you yelling, we did politics, we did what you watching. It was all the topics.
Did you feel bro-y?
I kind of, in a sense, I hoped that I was, you know, on the porch.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Wasn't it cute how Craig thought it'd be easier if he didn't answer if he was getting laid?
Craig is like, he's really played into your hand, Keith. And I think that's what he does every episode where he's like, I won't answer that. Moving on. Next question. And you're like, well, but, and then you do some sort of hypnosis on him and get him to say way more than he ever wanted to in the first place.
Well, I do the, well, let me say about me then. I, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yes, exactly. I'll tell her something else.
Yeah, he's really going through it. Yeah. And I think he thought that he was going to find an ally in me, but I didn't really understand what he was saying. A lot of the time. So
she goes, Bianca, you get it. And she's like, I don't know what you said for the last 15
minutes. He got into it a little bit on the chat party on Wednesday night. And man, yeah. Before Keith came in, it was a love fest of feelings parade and everything. And people were being like all gentle. And here's what I went through. And that is tough. And yes, I see your point and blah, blah. Then Keith came in and he's like, where do I get the poker chips from? Am I joining the room? Did the poker game start? Oh, look, Craig broke up with his girlfriend and I'm the last to hear. Oh, sorry that I was late for the chat party. I guess Craig's friends are here.
Oh, and then that's what it turned into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So come early to the chat party.
Well, we got to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we did, I think. I'm going to go with yes, we did. And we had a lot of fun getting there.
We had fun, for sure. That for sure.
So thank you for having me. Wow. What
absolutely.
It's a crossover event. Mm-hmm. A VIP program crossover event. The Diamond Dogs and Last Week on Keith and the Girl. With their powers combined, how could you ever not have fun?
Yeah. We did end up playing Destiny right afterwards, you know, beating these guys off. Uh-huh. The planet, and they were saying how great you were.
Aw, guys. Aw.
Yeah.
Rough. Oh, what a nice review. Well, that's good. Good to know I still got it, and I never lost it. Also, a great kind of roster of shows last week. You guys have been hosting Keith and the Girl for about 15 years. I don't know if you know that. I'm just bringing you up to speed.
We don't know what date it is, so we appreciate that. Thank you.
So one day you just sat down and started talking. Smash cut to here we are right now. And we're going to talk about Keith and the Girl episodes 3,305 to 3,307. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. When do you think you'll stop?
3,308.
Okay.
It felt good.
I don't know. I was thinking, you know, we have a 15-year-old. You know, a lot of times we say that, yes, we broke up, but this was our baby. So, you know, we had to get along and all that shit. So our baby's 15. Maybe when the baby's 18? I don't
17
know.
17 with parents' permission?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do we have to wait until 21? You guys tell us. How about that?
The show's 15, so the show is dating Jeff Ross.
Right.
And that is really... Okay. 3305, post-truth with Melody Kamali. Okay, couples during COVID, guys. And when you start to hear people talking about their couple, like their little couple world during COVID, and maybe sometimes you're like, that seems like a lot. Kind of glad I'm not, you know, doing that. It just seems like they are so intertwined, she and her girlfriend, and they've appeared on the show a lot. I think they've talked about openly about how intertwined their lives are, but there's something about not having like the backdrop of normal life.
Mm-hmm. Just before we recorded the show today, Keith was like, hey, you have any like personal stuff that happened over the weekend or whatever? And I look up at Xerxes and I go, hey, did we do anything this past, like, I want to say something personal on the show. And he's like, we don't do anything. We had a nice bike ride. So yeah, it's very, I see you all the time, but what are we doing? Hey, Keith, we can talk about how we cooked another meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Melody was funny because she goes, yeah, we're doing pretty fine. That's not true. We're doing bad, actually. Like, was that a sentence? A lot of semicolons.
Yeah, she's like, I used to be able to go to the bar by myself and have one drink alone, and now I can't do anything by myself because there is no by yourself when you're together. I was like, oh my God, it sounds really hard. Yeah. But they're going to get through it. And it sounds like they each have their own different like creative projects going on, including the podcast, Hemda, that you were on, called Taking Out.
Not our place, right?
I diked out with them. It was pretty cool.
Hell,
you know,
yeah.
It's funny because you know, when you say things like I have a boyfriend, you sort of have to have people understand why you're on a podcast called Diking Out. And I think people who are not just straight or gay, like who are somewhere in the middle, like are often explaining what the hell they are, and oftentimes before they know what is going on. So hopefully I made sense.
So you were like, I am Hemda. I'm bi with a guy. I'm doing the best I can. I deserve to be here. Don't at me. Okay, I've got my credentials.
Would you say you're bisexual, Hemda?
I don't know. I feel maybe pansexual, but the thing is I always say,
what's that mean? Sex in the kitchen?
Like, no, like the body parts and the sex and gender aren't really, they don't really matter. Like across platforms.
Soup play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hot soup.
But I always say I like Eminem, I am whatever you say I am, because, unless I'm in a queer relationship, it's not really. So it's like, hey, are you queer when you're only queer in a relationship? And when you're not in that queer relationship, are you queer to people anymore? So, you know, sometimes as soon as you kiss someone of the same sex, you're queer and that's it. And sometimes, you know, that's not enough for maybe the lesbian community. And sometimes you don't know because it's not like you're attracted to women all the time, but it's not like you're attracted to all these guys all the time either. And
but there's isn't more... it just about how you self-identify?
No, I don't know. No, it feels like no, only because I wouldn't self-identify. Like it's difficult to self-identify because, and maybe that is what makes me pansexual, because I don't know what I'm gonna go for. I don't know that it's just one or the other, but I haven't had like a zillion experiences to be like, this is really what I don't know. I also like have limited opportunities that have come my way, and more of them have been men. I don't know. Like, we have a heterosexual society out there, so more likely I'd be in contact with men who want to like be forward or try something. I don't know.
Are you nervous how special you are or aren't?
but then my brother says things like, okay, then, you know, straight people are not having this conversation in their head. So right. I think you know where you land. So that's, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, just to bring the focus back to, you know, cisgender, straight, white people for a second. Keith, I'm sure
Keith,
you can identify with this. You know, we do have it really hard when you're, you know, cis, able-bodied, straight, white, and you know exactly what you want and there's no confusion. And it's just, it can be tough when you have such a clear sort of idea and your idea kind of goes with what has been the norm. It can just make you feel a little, how do I say it? Predictable.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, there's tribulations all over the place. I think you're getting that.
Good people on both sides. No, I'm just joking. Obviously, I don't think anything like that, but I'm excited to listen to that episode. That's for Sweet. Sure.
Sweet.
This Keith and the girls, it's always nice to hear from Melody. It's always nice to check in with our, like, you know, old characters, people from the marathon, people, you know. It's nice because it sort of feels like you're hanging out with old friends, but you don't have to do any work. You're just pressing play on old friends.
It's also fun because the people who were at the marathon, Keith would be like, oh, the last episode was a year ago. And they'll go like, aside from the marathon. And I could feel me and Keith, tell me if this is wrong. I could feel us going like, you think I remember anything on the marathon? Like Jesus could have been a guest on the marathon. Please don't test me about who was on the marathon. Other than the Goots going nuts and Wendy being there, I have no idea. You can really tell me. Everybody can tell me they were on the marathon. I'll be like, yeah, you were great. Right. Because I don't remember anybody being shitty. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I had a good time.
It was clear to me, maybe just because I know, you know, a little bit more about you guys. But I was like, oh, yeah, they don't remember
right. The
marathon.
No, it's like, I'm like, oh, Dan Lemore, last time you were on, you weighed a little more. It's like, well, I was here for the marathon. I'm like, yeah, but you lost weight after that, right? Yes. Okay. Who gives a fuck?
I saw that roulette wheel spinning. Right. I'm like, oh, I hope he lands on losing weight because he took a chance there.
Yeah, I think maybe you just have to be like, we don't remember the marathon. We blacked out. So you tell me, if you printed out your little note card of what happened in the marathon, feel free to go through it. I don't even remember the marathon, and I was asleep for some of it, you know?
And you wrapped it up at the end. We had a special one-hour wrap-up of the marathon, because 24 hours is not enough.
Remember back in the time? Remember, like, going places and the droplets weren't so scary? Mm-hmm. I barely remember.
Do you remember when you would talk to somebody and spit would fly out of their mouth and you're like, ha
Yeah. Yeah, now you're like, murderer!
Yeah.
What was the poll for this one, Keith?
My 12-year-old son came into my room.
My notes here say locking the door.
Bianca, please chime in on this, please.
Well, I think a lot of people on the forums kind of hit it on the head, what I was thinking, which is like, you say he's so oblivious and he has no idea what's going on, but right. I think he knows what's going on, or at least subconsciously, he wants to interrupt because he's not such a huge fan of whatever's going on. Right. Like, he's not like, oh, what's going on in there is great, and also I'm not invited, but I respect that, so I'm going to stay out here. I think a part of his little kid brain is like, well, what could I ask about? I know, the oatmeal. perfect excuse. Okay, hey guys, oatmeal, and also notice it wasn't like, you know, where's my headphones this time? It was like, right. Mom, can you do a thing that would require you to please leave this room?
Right.
Immediately. Okay. And also would require you to choose me over whatever you're doing right now. Right. You know what I mean? So I think a little bit more of like, you know, give him a little more credit. He knows what he's doing.
Okay. Well, then we have to have punishment time. The poll was, has a kid ever caught you having sex? 4% say yes.
Hmm.
So I'm definitely in the minority over here. Apparently everybody's an adult.
No, it's a tough issue. 4% of our listeners don't know how to fucking lock a door when there's children in the house. I don't, this is a big project that Keith and Kyle are taking on. They have to go to the hardware store. They have to see how Xerxes and Chemda can come over to their house and actually do it for them. It's a lot, you know?
I think it's a good idea to put a tie on the door.
Yep. Scar, I'm starting now instead of waiting until college.
And it's like, Google it. You know, you don't know what I'm doing.
Start Googling everything, bitch.
Yeah, Google things. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, seems that. But I know a lot of people that did catch their parents. But apparently, they're so mature. They all learned a lesson, and they've never been caught by their kids. So that's good. The disease stopped with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's different with a step parent or a parent's new partner than with a mom and dad. I think it's just a different, like, sure, territorial thing.
There's an added, you're not my family, so it's an extra, like, weird thing.
You're trying to tell me that this guy's getting in the way of my oatmeal? Because that will not work for me.
He knows how to make oatmeal. Next time he does it, I'm going to be like, are you not cool with me or something?
Maybe that's the real lesson is, hey, it's time to learn how to make oatmeal. Right. And a bunch of other things.
I teach him. I go, here's how you make oatmeal. Now, here's a special slot we made for your headphones.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't know where your headphones are, why would I?
Oh, poor kid. Anyway, moving briskly ahead, we have a controversial episode of the week titled Relationships, and that word is in brackets. And I see what you did there. Yay. And that's very good. With Joe DeVito.
I can't with this one. It's fucking what?
Now, without her giving you clues, what was your thoughts, Bianca?
Please, yes, I'm sorry.
Well, I was listening and I was very entertained, number one. So, you know, mission accomplished on that level. But I think it's just so, it was like so radical to hear somebody make decisions in that way about that thing. Like we all do calculations in our head about what's important to us, and that's normal. And that's like a part of growing and figuring out like what you want in life. But to actually like bring sort of like a spreadsheet style analytical mind to this, it's like so incongruous with the project of like finding love.
That's the thing. I don't know. I'm pro the lists. I'm pro.
Well, no,
hey.
Yeah. And then I was thinking, like, well, you know, if that's the way that he needs to do it to figure it out, then, you know, whatever. That seems good to me. I mean, I think it would be weird if after he kind of got to know this woman or things are going well, if he kept that from her, I think he would have to say, like, listen, you know, it may seem weird or out of the ordinary, but like I've been thinking about you and the way I sort of decided that I wanted to get to know you was I took a look at all these criteria. And then, you know, to make it a little fun for myself, I did a little compare and contrast. I'm like, if she can hang with the fact that that's how you did it, then maybe she is the one for you. But it's probably not going to be a great thing dinner conversation. To tell her. She's probably not going to love it.
That's not something you, I don't see how you, and I'm for honesty, but I don't know how you don't keep that a secret until the whatever date. Even after I love you, I think. And then you go, well, this is interesting because I blah, blah, blah. But here we are, and it's funny now.
But you were on a list.
You're on a list. Other people made the list if you're age appropriate, so they still could have won.
I'm so into it. I think the brackets threw me, and I think what the real thing is for me is that he took his close female friends, and I understand. Like, hello, I'm with Xerxes. It's been 10 years of friendship, but to sort of go like, which one of these and like, who's the runner up and do we have to have dinner with her all the time now? And when did you start being attracted to me? Was it after this? It's just, there's something about it because usually when people make those lists, it's like, oh, I'm seeing two or three people and I'm so interested in all of them that I actually have to work it out. Or I'm seeing 12 people. I'm seeing them. And now I have to figure out like, why am I seeing 12 people and maybe narrow it down based on, oh, I noticed that I like this person more. This feels more like the opposite, like what fits into this thing that I already decided. And what about the people on the list that we're still going to be friends with that?
Well,
I don't know.
I think that being on the list to him, being in the tournament at all is a positive thing. So like already you are, you know, hugely, congrats. You are hugely respectable in his estimation if you've made it to.
He's saying if you made it and you weren't even in my top 10, it's still the law. So it's a big deal. I will be with you.
I mean, I just think it's like something that that he did. He thought of and he was probably like, oh, that'd be funny. And then he did it. And then, I mean, it's not like he didn't talk about it on a podcast and he's just keeping it to himself for like his own. It is a funny thing to do. And he is a comedian. So I think there is an element of that like performative thing.
Yeah, but it's only funny because he did it. It's not a funny thought. It's funny.
No,
because
exactly. And I don't think he would have done it if he didn't feel like he would probably have the opportunity to tell people about it.
Maybe.
Maybe you can answer this one because that one is just, that's Joe DeVito. But did she know she was on a date?
Well, I like the thing that you were stuck on. Like, do you pick people up? Ever.
Well, because it was the change
I was like,
in behavior.
No, yes, keep going with this. We'll crack him with this one.
But I thought it might because
like, in 1996, I picked up my friend Barry from his house.
He wouldn't know. He didn't seem to know if he does pick up people for outings.
He did know. That's when he's lying.
Yeah, he was being cagey in that.
Well, that's
moment.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, does he know the kiss or does he really not know if they kissed who kissed who on the cheek?
I think he does. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a professional.
You're not a psychiatrist.
That's true. I just think that like what I see in him is somebody with like a rich inner life who is often performing and sometimes for the audience of just himself. So I think when he was on this date with her that he didn't tell her was a date, he was sort of like building it up in his head like, okay, now like she's on trial, but she doesn't know. Yes. Because I'm, you know, sort of doing like this gentleman-like thing where I'm giving her the opportunity to be herself in front of me because
yes!
I'm so
yes!
like kind and then, you know, we'll see, you know, and hopefully magnanimously when I roll out the red carpet for her and when I grace her door with rose petals, then she'll turn around and she'll say, Joe, it was you all the time. You know, like yeah. He has this sort of like fantastical element to it, which I think is really interesting. And I wonder, like, if it's kind of a feature of loneliness or like decades of not really having meaningful connection, where you feel like you need to kind of fill in the blanks for the people with whom you're interacting and kind of project this fantasy onto them. So before, it was maybe younger girls who looked up to him and thought he was funny. And now he's kind of changed course and he's like, okay, well, now I need to find like the real woman who really I respect. Like now I feel like I need to respect her. And so that's my goal. But really, it's all just seems to be a conversation he's having with himself. And I don't know. I could be way off base, but it, I mean, it was fascinating to hear him talk about it.
I think you're right. And I also think that when we asked him about a kiss or when he brought up a kiss, he thought it would end there. And once we probed more, he started twisting things because whatever happened there, he doesn't want to say. So I don't know if he went for the kiss and got embarrassed and she gave the cheek or, maybe he's embarrassed that he said it. Maybe he wants to take it back just in case she hears it. I don't know. But something happened right there and we weren't allowed to continue.
Right. He knows if the person isn't interested to back off. So he found that.
Claps. Just straight claps. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he does have kind of an old school, a little miss, you know, he's kind of missing some stuff that's newer where you're like, oh, we don't congratulate people for that anymore. Like we actually stopped. So
we expect that now. Thank
you. Yeah. I see you're holding for applause, but you know, we'll just move on.
You have an old script. We don't hold for applause there. And there's no laugh tracks in a lot of our favorite shows. Yeah. Let's get together.
Yeah.
But not together, 6 feet apart.
He's driven me before. I can't tell you what happened when we got out of the car. I think I said thank you.
Did he pick you up?
He picked up Kyle and he picked up me and they were going to a show. They were doing a show together. So I'm trying to think.
Did you get a kiss on the cheek?
I, you know what? Okay. We both had heads at the time. I know that. Let me think.
Wow. He does like, every time I thought he was going to, I don't know. He took the joke really well, you know? And I think if he didn't, I think a lot of people would just be mad at him. And this is a very interesting one because to me, it's somewhat controversial because he was saying some stuff. I pushed on him and he laughed about it, which I think like, you know, got people to not be so angry with him. But people have been listening to that specific episode multiple times. Like we're hearing.
Yeah. And I always get a little bit nervous when people are like, this will be a great last week on Keith and the Girl, and we'll see what Bianca has to say about this. It's like, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, listener. You know, I don't have an inside scoop on Joe DeVito. I've never met the man. But yeah, it was a great episode. Maybe that's why people are listening to it a lot.
Love it. I was tickled.
Yeah, team Joe, team.
I mean, I've got to date him, you know.
Well, you don't know that yet, but you were actually in the tournament.
Can you imagine?
I was not kidding that I was wondering if Andrea was on that list.
Are they friends?
I don't know.
Who's they met each other with? Once.
I don't know.
Can you imagine you're a waitress and you find out you're not on the list, but you served him twice?
Who has 12 friends that potentially could be soulmates? Who'd you leave off the list?
Kind of fucking pots and pans. You can't name 12, 13.
I mean, I just, like I said, I've been out of the game for so long. I don't have really a clear picture of things anymore. I'm all over the map. So, you know, I might try Joe's, basketball tournament style.
You could name 12 guys that potentially, aside from age, have your heart forever. Name four.
I can't name 12 guys. Period. I don't know.
And I'm talking Hollywood and otherwise.
Yeah, I'll do some research. I'll try it. I'm going to try it. What was the poll here?
Well, we talked about Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris was picked by Joe Biden. The poll was, are you a fan of Kamala Harris' pick for vice president? Yes, no, or don't care. 63% yes, 17% no, 20% don't care. I know Craig said, he's like, he didn't like the pick. And he's like, do they forget that we hate cops right now?
Yeah, she's a cop. But, you know, she seems smart to me and good at politics. Right.
I like that meme, what we asked for, what we got. You know that one?
It's Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez. And now it's, but okay, we'll take this one. Henda's dying.
Excuse me, COVID. Thank you.
Well, at a certain point, it seems rude if I continue, Henda. So.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a surprising pick to me. I kind of figured that she would be the one, Kamala. And I think it's a smart pick. You know, I do think that there are a lot of moderate people in the country, and I know it seems wild, you know, that you wouldn't be on one extreme side that makes the most sense. But I mean, a lot of people, I think, just have more money than me. And so they prioritize that in a different way. And I mean, I don't really get putting money before people, but
It is weird. You're absolutely right. Like, I know I'm considered extreme left, obviously. But how are you not extreme? How are you not the fuck? How are you not what people would consider in general extreme?
I only think it's because you have more that you're holding on to. Like, you have property and money and, you know, mutual funds and this and that. You know, like, I think it's really easy to be super lefty liberal when you have like $16 in the bank and you're like, yeah, no, please give me insurance, free college and everything else. Like, of course, you know, it's natural that would be what's most important to you.
But I never hear it from people, because I know people like that. And I never hear like, yeah, what is going on is disgusting. Of course, I'm pro BLM and all of this, human rights. But just between us, don't tell me nothing. It really helps my bank account. No, the two things seem to go together. Your anti-BLM and the money thing. Maybe because the one thing doesn't bother you. But I don't see, like, Keith, in general, don't tell nobody. Yeah, I'm into all this stuff. But
well, I think
I gotta worry about my family's bank.
Yeah, a lot of people are, you know, socially, they are into BLM and they're into all of that stuff. But they'll vote for... even not necessarily for president, but they'll vote for more moderate candidates in their districts locally, because they will be more focused on those issues rather than issues of social change. So even if it's not an outright like, oh, I don't support BLM, but more my focus as a political leader won't be this piece of politics, it will be something else. You know, it's just a shift. There is like a middle, there are a middle of the road kind of vibe that people, that is not very widely reported because it's not that interesting. Right. It's mostly about like mitigating risk in sure. your life and not kind of bothering the status quo.
Right. You know what's fun? I like when I hear people say, like, they'll agree to my points and then say, but, you know, I'm in the middle or whatever, because that seems like the thing you're supposed to say. And I'm like, you're not, though. You're not.
Yeah. I don't.
We
like...
relate with everything and we're the far ones.
Yeah.
I feel like as a person who leans left or is left or far left or whatever, because I do think there are people farther left than us. And I think they get very ignorant and I don't want them on my side. So it's hard for me to call myself the far left. But I think as a lefty person, I'm not happy about the lefty people. I don't believe that these leaders that we get to vote for on our quote side, I don't believe that they're on our side. I think that's the problem. I don't want to say that I'm on that side because you're not all encompassing of what I want. You're just not. You don't take my side on a lot of the issues. It's just you're taking my side more than this other schmuck. So it's not fun.
I realize my pet peeve is when people say being extreme on either side is bad. And I'm like, oh, what a simple, stupid thing you just said.
No, but the extreme on our side is like yelling at people. Well, never mind, Keith. that's what you do. No, but it's yelling at people and being ignorant because it's, you know, yes, your message is peace and love, but you're also not taking into consideration real life and you go too far. I don't know how to explain yelled at by these people. And I'm just like, okay, that's not my side. What you're yelling at me right now is not my side. And we're not arguing the same point. This is crazy.
Yeah, because I think that there's a it's very tempting to look at ideologies on paper and say, oh, that's what I agree with. I'm on this, and, you know, kind of put blinders on and not really see the big picture, which is that there's more to these issues than what could be accomplished by just taking a hard line stance on everything. Because for better or worse, you know, we live within a system that has to account for all these different points of view. Whether or not there's virtue in some of them is kind of irrelevant. Like, we do still have to accept that there are different ways of thinking about things only because there are, and those are the cards that we have right now. So I think it is tempting to be very ideologically rigid and be like, this is what I believe, but it doesn't always serve the people, especially with super lefty, liberal, radical left people. It doesn't always serve the everyman that you're trying to kind of build up. No,
it
doesn't.
But it might make you sound good, like right. You're on, you know, the little guy side. But sometimes you point at people and you say you're the little guy, and that person's like, why don't you stop pointing at me?
Yeah.
You know, that's just a little bit too, like, shut up. Maybe not you.
Yeah, I mean, I just think, like, you know, let's just get out there and vote by mail, one if by land, two if by sea, you know, all of it, all of the above. Just exercise your right to vote and do it.
Shout out to the people living in the U.S. of A. We're so united.
Beautiful.
I think. They
we
call
have
it
a color war,
sense.
United, red state, it, blue state. Sorry.
I'm not trying to start a race war, Hamda. I'm trying to end one. And I think whatever happened to common sense, it's not so common.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about these clowns in Washington with the circus tent and the big orange buffoon, the Cheeto in chief, the mango Mussolini.
Now we're talking in memes.
You know who I don't like? People that don't know how to hate.
I believe you.
Yeah, they know how. Get to know yourself, fucking weirdo. Everything you just said is hate.
Yeah. I don't know how to hate.
Yeah. Well, then take a class because you're missing other shit too, you brain dead idiot. You don't know how to hate? Get the fuck out.
All right. Moving on. Episode 3307. The title is Wet Ass Pussy.
I just wanted to hear you say it.
And I am not talking about a cat in the rain, okay? And the guest on this episode is Shalewa Sharp. Another one. Where do I sign up to be Shalewa's best friend? Is she taking applicants? How do I put my hat in the ring? Shalewa, I love you, and I'm in love with you, and let's hang out. What a hilarious, great guest and a great episode. And Keith, I wanted to ask you right off the bat, how did you feel about her assessment of you and your dad talking to each other?
I also played it for my brother when she says, you know, we're just two people on the same podiums, yelling at each other, trying to outdo each other. But I was a kid, and I couldn't reach the top of the podium, so it wasn't fair. But then when my eyes went over the podium, it was game on. Yeah, I thought that made sense.
Did you feel like but she did say, like, at one point she said, "Keith, I think you and your dad are a lot alike."
Right.
And I was like, "What's going to happen?"
I felt a little bit of that. I was like, "Ooh, that's got to sting a little."
Yeah.
I know how much we're different, so it didn't bother me. I can understand that, you know, we just did another Daddy Issues episode of it seeming, you know, my dad's a petty person. And I can see what I'm doing as easily as petty. So, yeah, that doesn't bother me for somebody to say that.
Well, you both like the podium, I think, is the safe bet.
Yeah, I see that. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think he wanted to do all the things that you did. Like, he wrote a couple of books. You wrote a couple books, but then actually sold them. Like, he definitely wants to start some sort of, you know, I speak into a microphone and there are people listening and responding and we get to, you know, all this stuff.
Right.
He just doesn't do it.
Right.
So you won.
Bye-bye, dickhead.
After October.
And I got a feeling he knows how to... I got a feeling he hates me. But he'd say he doesn't. And I hate these people.
Mm, interesting.
I wondered if my dad hates me. It's hard to believe that your dad will hate you, but I don't know.
If I died, my dad would be pleased because of all these fake emails and who knows who's going to know what. He would be pleased if I was dead. I believe that.
Mm. Like it would, you know, now the person who can get him.
Something he doesn't have to worry about. Yeah. Yeah. Person that can get him is gone. Maybe that helps with relationships with other kids. Hey, we don't have much time left. Let's all be nice. And
what if you wrote him and you said, "Hey, like, all kidding aside, sometimes I think if I died, you'd be happy and that you hate me."
Son, there's not one father on this green earth that God gave us and provided us that could ever begin to hate his son. Though you are not my first, you are my second, and that counts too somehow.
Son, you said in your previous email you believe that I always hated you. I've known that for quite some time. You always did think that I hated you. You know, he would know that that was the way it always was. You know, whatever. I assure you, as I always have, day in, day out, that I not only do not hate you, my son, flesh and blood, I love you more than you can possibly know.
Do you think that your dad did a bracket list and your mom won?
It was a bracket
list. Do
you think
that your dad could fill a 12-person, not even female, a 12-person bracket list that he's ever been either acquaintance with or met more than once? 12
yes,
people.
Yes, but he would, it'd be, you know, Goot style. It would be, you know, somebody he met at a buffet. And by that, I mean the woman that cut the meat.
Yeah, we hooked up at the Burger King.
Right. Yeah, oh, he kept telling me when we were kids all the options he had. And they were always millionaire women.
Yeah.
I didn't even hold her hand when I worked on this cruise. And she was ready for me to move in with her in such luck. Like, how's that make any sense? Then she was drunk and didn't even say those words. Anything happened. She said, "I liked your fucking show." And I could tell she wanted to fuck.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah.
Well, Shalewa was like a really nice prism, a new prism. Through which to observe you and your dad. So,
yes, I love that. Yes.
What was the poll for this one?
The poll was, would dad accept your wish for him to notary public something? the poll, the word doesn't make sense, right? Anyway, the poll was, are you offended by the song WAP? Yes or no? Two people say yes, they are. Huh. Wet Ass Pussy by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion.
Show yourselves, cowards. Them.
They know they can't live in a world of extreme people where you can't just have an opinion and be a grown adult scared of a song.
I agree, though, with the wet and gushy being worse than
it is worse.
than wet ass pussy. Gushy seems like, ugh, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
I understand feeling uncomfortable about that song, but offended is like, well, I don't know. That's just...
Honestly, why are you uncomfortable anyway? How the fuck are you uncomfortable? This is being used as a torture device. Where are they playing it? In your church? How are you uncomfortable about it?
They put the song up my butt, and it was uncomfortable.
I think the TV show had
to tell these two losers that it is uncomfortable, and they used that secondhand opinion, ran with it. How did you find it?
No, that is crazy.
Yeah,
how he found it. I didn't find it. I asked Xerxes if he came across it. Didn't come across it. Didn't hear of it. I don't know. I'm not saying that we're like, you know, in the trends, but neither is this dude.
Well, I say I'm not offended, but I am titillated. Mm-hmm. I am scandalized. I am excited. I am a fan. I do stan. I have no choice but to stan. And we do have to move on. I listened to Q&A episode 14, La Isla Q&A, mm-hmm. where we went through.
It just makes a song. Has nothing to do with anything.
Through August 12th, through the years, the years, August 12th, nostalgia tour. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you feel about VH1 Behinding the Music yourself? When you're still going, like, what has been your experience of looking back like this? Does it make you, does it bring anything up in the cauldron of your feelings, stew? Hemdo, we'll start with you. No, just kidding.
I'll start with you. I don't, to me, it's just how about that?
Okay. Hemdo? Okay. A classic Keith response. Mm-hmm. Got it.
I enjoy the nostalgia of it. I enjoy that Newsy was actually there for all of it, you know, so he can also speak from that perspective and really know what was happening. I like getting his response of it because even though he was there, meaning he was listening, so he can tell us, like, as a listener, this is what we thought was going on, and then we can sort of behind the scenes it as well. I don't know. I think it's fun. You know, I like I hardly look at Facebook too much, but like when it shows me the memory thing, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, what was I doing at this time? Pictures. I like it.
I think that's all what I said, but.
Yeah.
And I like how Newsy expresses it because he's not letting us get away with anything, but he understands what everything was. You know what I mean? So he's bringing up all the stuff, but is not like, I don't know. There's nothing that he's not like reprimanding anything that he knows at the time was just a normal thing. Does that make sense? Now I feel like all we do is say the N-word in the past, but that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't stay in the history of it.
Right.
Like he remembers when we were together, but he doesn't talk about it like it's some other alien thing that needs to really be like, oh, wasn't that funny that you guys used to date? That's hilarious. This is what you called each other.
Yeah, that still bothers me to know that.
Well, the pet name was the N-word.
God.
Yeah.
It still bothers me too, Bianca, if we're taking a poll.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard as a little baby, because I'm a little baby. I'm mm-hmm. a child. And it's hard for me
to know, like, why we ever dated. I know.
Yeah. So Newsy
so
has
clear
been
now.
She won. You. I'll tell you. She won the bracket.
Oh.
Yeah. Nothing I can do about it.
Not what it
yeah.
was.
Yeah. She got high in the foreign scale. Really, really busted her up there.
I like when you said, oh, she got a 3 in smart. Oh, that was perfect.
Ah, that was.
And you know there's no intelligent thing on there.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, another beautiful week and memories like the corners of my mind. Silver watercolor memories with Q&A. But this is Last Week on Keith and the Girl, the crossover edition. Check me out on Diamond Dogs. Ruff, ruff. Keithandthegirl.com.